Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. A very warm welcome to yet another episode of Islamic Upbringing. Well, in this program, we answer the questions that you have related to Islamic upbringing of your children. The answers are based upon the Noble Quran and the narrations from Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him and his purified family. Well, today in our studio, we have had the pleasure to invite Professor Salman Nakavi, who's a faculty member at the Al-Mustafa University. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome, sir.
Thank you very much.
Well, Professor, there's a question that if a child reaches puberty and now it's his time to follow the religious obligations and does not wake up early in the morning, how do we wake up a child early in the morning who has just reached puberty?
Yes, we should realize that we need to teach him to wake up in the morning. The important thing is that we're not supposed to do it all our lives, or he shouldn't be made... It should not become a habit for him that someone should be making him up all the time. So we need to teach him and guide him how to become alert to this issue. And there are many factors which go into this issue. And that one of them is that the human body has a bio clock in it. If it has to be, you know, it can be wound up in a proper way. It can be made to do things at the body itself forms a habit and follows that habit. So if a child or a person is able to, you know, plan the day in such a way that everything is done at a special time, eating and going to bed and going to sleep and waking up in the morning.
There's a proper schedule.
There's a proper schedule. So if there's tuning to that, that is done in such a way that everything is done on time, a person can wake up just, you know, at the time he wants to, when he goes to sleep, with this intention that he needs to get up at that time. So that is important, that one should be able to have a schedule, daily schedule, which he follows religiously. Going to sleep with a heavy stomach is not also
recommended.
Normally, nowadays, especially in winter times, especially or even for fasting, we just need to have two times of meals. Two meals a day would be enough. So we can have early morning meals and we can have early evening or early night meals. So two meals a day would be sufficient for our lives, especially if we go to work, if we go to school, college. In the afternoons, we don't get time to even rest or sleep. Oversleeping and sleeping too much in the afternoon is also not recommended. If a child sleeps too much in the afternoon, then he won't be able to sleep early in the night.
Yeah.
So he needs to get tired up. He needs to be, you know, coming back from school. He needs to, you know, do his homework. He can go to play and whatever. And he needs to get really tired up, and then he can go to sleep early and he will get up early. But again, if he needs to be helped, you can give him assistance by providing him a clock. A clock which sets off an alarm, or you can set an alarm in his phone, for example. And then even if you need...
So there's a series of processes you have to be going through to make a child wake up early in the morning.
Exactly.
If your child is not sleeping at early at night, you should not be expecting him to be waking up early at night. And if you yourself are not doing that, that you should not be expecting your child to be doing that.
Exactly.
So there has to be a proper timetable that has to be followed to achieve the goal. Professor, we'll discuss more with you after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. We are with Professor Salman Naqvi. And Professor, you were helping us to with the tips. How can we make a child wake up early in the morning for morning prayers, especially, and to carry out religious obligations, who has just reached puberty? Don't you think one of the problems that exists within us as parents is that we actually start getting concerned about these things as a child reaches the age of puberty, not before that?
Yes, so if he has trained and he has formed a habit of sleeping early, then naturally he will be waking up early. Especially when we want our children to go to school, we wake them up early because they need to catch the bus or whatever. But for prayers, sometimes we feel problematic. We say, how should we wake him up or wake her up? We need to teach them. And
there are emotional corner gets exactly. A little more, gets into the action. But you're saying that as we wake up them for the schooling, we should be waking up them for the prayers as well.
Exactly. So it is recommended that they, number one, when they go to sleep, make this intention, pure intention of getting up in the morning for prayers. They need to realize that they have to make a pact with themselves.
Okay.
In the night, waking up, they have full intention of getting up in the morning with their own, and they're concerned about it. We need to make them feel concerned about it. We need to make them focused on it. We need to make them themselves very much attentive to the fact they need to get up on their own for their own betterment. And then in the morning, we can wake them up. Number one, it's recommended when we wake up ourselves, mm-hmm. we should try to wake them up the first time, the second time after we have gone for ablution, prepared ourselves for prayers, we should try to wake them up.
Yeah.
And the third time is after we have prayed ourselves.
And then we can
ask them to pray, wake up. Of course,
as you said in the previous sessions as well, that if the obedience starts from very 7 years, the obedient part, being obedient with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not waiting for the age of puberty, like when a boy gets 15 and now let's start making him realize what are the responsibilities. We can teach him earlier than puberty so that he, when he reaches puberty or when she reaches puberty, it becomes easy for them.
Yes, it becomes a habit for them, which they are, taking care of all the time. It's not just for getting up for school. It's all the day, all their lives long. Especially when it's recommended that we shouldn't sleep between the sunrise and the dawn and sunrise. It's a very...
That's the time of distribution of risk.
Exactly. So the early bird, in English also, you have the early bird catches the worm.
Yeah.
Or early to bed, early to rise,
makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise.
So if you, inculcate these things in your children and make them, really think about them and to, act upon them, then the children themselves will be, programmed to get up on time and do things at time. And especially when we are making our scheduling it around prayer times, whether it's in the early morning, whether it's in the Zohar prayers, Asr prayers, or everything is managed around that, then our lives would actually become, very much those lives which are pure lives.
And there's this very beautiful Persian quote which says that, do not say to prayers, I have work. Say to your work, I have prayers right
exactly.
now. So if we go on with that ideology, we can actually change many things. So we'll discuss more with you, Professor, after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned.
يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, raise your children to have three features: love for your Prophet, love for his household, and reciting the Quran.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. We are with Professor Salman Naqvi. And Professor, now we have an audience question, which is again unusual one like the mother. She was in the previous episode. Now we have a mother who has reached the decision that she has to get separated from her husband because the things are not going very well between them. But her question is that her children are 6 and 3 years old, and both of them are boys. So it is the boys that has kept her kind of imprisoned with this person she doesn't want to live with. Do you have any advices for her in regards to her children? What could be done?
So, as you know, as all of us know, that resorting to divorce and separation is the worst thing that can be done. And the worst impact is upon the children. I mean, is nothing worse than the children of divorce. They are, you know, they have come into this world based on this wedlock between this man and this woman, husband and wife. Now, this is expected to continue, and their children, you know, count upon that. They are, you know, they feel protected, they feel safe within the hands of these two people. So, as with all cases, the first thing is to be really careful in selection of the spouse. That is very important. It's a chain. It is something which is you're going to embrace, which is going to be put on your neck, a chain which you're going to be chained with, a necklace, as you could say, that you cannot remove easily. So you need to think of it properly, and you need to make a decision that we need to live together all the forever.
Yeah.
So that is the best situation. The worst scenario is that finally you make the decision to separate.
Yeah.
Now, what could be the best situation for the children, and how to manage their feelings and how to manage them? It's a very difficult thing. Whether the child, the mother should take care of them, or whether the father should take
care.
Of course, as far as religion goes, there are issues. Till the age of 2, the custody of a child, of a lady, a girl, is till 7 is of a girl can be with the mother, but okay. The custody of a boy till the age of 2, but after that the responsibility lies upon the
father?
Husband of the father, so he takes the custody of the children, except that the lady, the woman, the wife
insists on taking the custody.
She can prove in a competent court of law, where she can prove that giving custody to the husband would have a negative for an effect for the children, and would be not beneficial for them somehow. But basically, the custody falls with the father, mm-hmm. and he is responsible for the custody. But the important thing is how they can manage to take care of their children out of wedlock. It's a very difficult situation. If the custody goes with the husband, then he needs to find either a spouse who can take care of his children in a way that they do not feel that this mother, who is not their real mother. The stepmother, can feel attached to her. Or they have the opportunity and the freedom to meet with their real mother whenever they want.
At the same time.
Right. So it's a very difficult situation, a situation which has
impact on the
mental and physical things. And of course, the impacts cannot be really very easily removed. So we need to be very careful in selecting the spouse we want to live with.
So it goes back to spouse selection. Thank you so much, Professor. That's all the time we had for today. And thank you so much, dear listeners. And the best thing is that we come to the common terms. There's no relation that does not have problems. But the best thing is to how you tackled them? Have you faced them? And have you come to common terms? And actually making up is something that matters than breaking up things, especially you got to be thinking about your children. Thank you so much for listening. You were listening to IRIB English Radio. Until another session, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space returned upon rest.